Now on Money News, Roger Montgomery, talking trade, thanks to Citrix. Online meetings made easy. Visit gotomeeting.com.au.
And at 21 minutes to 8 o'clock, Roger Montgomery is in the studio with me. Anybody wants to give us a call, 131-873 is our number. A lot of people should be wanting to talk to him, given the fact that there will be lots of bargains to have jumped out onto the stock market. And as well as that, no doubt, a lot of people very concerned either about their share market portfolio, maybe even their superannuation, or indeed what happens with property and other bits and pieces later down the track. I'm sure we can talk about all of those things. Roger, good evening to you.
Been a wild ride today, I can tell you.
It has been a very wild ride, and it's not for the nervous.
Oh,
and,
no.
And it's certainly not for those who purport to be long-term investors. But I want to ask you one really simple question. I know your philosophy is always that you buy a good quality company, and when it's no longer a good quality company, you sell. It's sometimes difficult. But let's be honest, even good quality companies are overvalued or undervalued from time to time.
Or overpriced or underpriced, I call it.
But that's right.
That's right. And we can't control where share prices are going to go. So we might buy something at a 10% discount to its intrinsic value, and it could fall to a 30 or 40% discount to its intrinsic value. It could go down a long way.
Okay,
but we take advantage of that rather than succumb to the influence of it.
But there is one other small part of this as well, and that is a lot of people decide to play the law of averages.
Right.
And that is, they might take funds, or they might take in their superannuation fund. They might have a fund that actually looks after their investments, or people might decide they want to play the indexes, for example. And it's a fairly cheap and easy way for people to get stock market exposure.
Yeah.
The question is whether the Australian stock market overall is now cheap or expensive.
Well, here's the interesting thing. I think it's a mistake to do what you just described. And I'm not saying you suggested it.
A lot of people do it. There are trillions of dollars in index funds around the world, Roger.
Since 2003, the index is up about 1.3 or 1.4% a year. So for 9.5 years or thereabouts, it's gone pretty much nowhere.
That's all right, but if people
there are
want
individual
stock
there are individual companies that have done much, much better than that.
Sure, and there are a whole lot of, because of the law of averages, if it's at 1.3%, there's a whole bunch of companies that have done a lot worse than that as well.
Look, I wonder, you know, I actually think people don't buy the Sydney median house price. So they shouldn't buy an index because, quite frankly, I think there are bad businesses in indices and they're pretty easy to avoid.
Sure, so, but the fact is that not all people necessarily have your skills at doing this, Roger.
Well, that's right, but there's no shortage of smart fund managers in Australia.
Well, hang on, but there's a lot of smart fund managers who have underperformed that index over that period of time as well.
Well, it's actually a statement that a lot of people make, but in the small to mid-cap space in Australia, more fund managers beat the index than underperform it.
But certainly in times of volatility, because during that period of time that you talk about, of course, we've had a fairly consistent run in the stock market, notwithstanding global financial crises and so forth. But the truth is that when there is illiquidity in the market, and we certainly saw that back in 91, 92, along a lot of illiquidity, you couldn't have given away a small company for love nor money.
No, that's probably right. Well, I know it's right. I think if you're investing in the stock market, then you should be investing for a very long time. And so liquidity is less of a concern. If you're going to use the market as an ATM machine, don't.
Okay, except that people do have to use it as an ATM machine because there's a time at which they need to get their money out.
Yeah, well, then that's a misallocation. That's a mismatch of assets. You know, so if they need liquidity now, they need money now, the stock market isn't the place to be.
But don't we invest because we need money in the future?
You do, but you're going to spread out that need. You're not going to take it all out in one hit. You need to be investing over a very long period of time. You also need to allow yourself a window to exit. So you're not getting out. You're not going to say, okay, Ross, I need my money on the 18th of April, 2015. That would be a very risky thing to do. But to say, I'm going to need my money in 10 to 15 years, well, that's a less risky thing to do. And so the stock market is going to go through periods where there's illiquidity, but it'll come back.
So is the stock market really from today? Is it ever going to recover? Can you see hope in the stock market in the future?
I have absolutely no idea. What I do know is that there are good companies that will. I can be sure that there are companies that are going to do very, very well. As I mentioned to you earlier, you know, let's take that 2003 to now, the All Ordinaries Index, the accumulation index, up about 1.3% per annum. But a company like ARB, which manufactures bull bars, you know, it's the biggest manufacturer of bull bars in the world. It's up about 9.5% per annum in that same period of time, excluding dividends, which there were three special dividends in that time as well. So you could have done a lot better picking some good companies. So I don't know where the stock market in general is going to go, because I don't know how many bad companies are going to list on the stock market, and that'll have an impact on it as well.
But you would be the first to say that our sentiment does follow from the United States, of course, doesn't it?
Oh, look, in the short term, yes. In the long term, we're looking at individual businesses, and I would say that the that ARB or JB Hi-Fi or Orison, those sorts of businesses, they haven't tracked the US market at all. So I don't follow the index. I'm more interested in individual businesses. And if we treat the stock market as a place to buy a piece of a business rather than to trade stocks like we would bet on red or black at the casino, then we'll do a darn sight better.
Okie dokie. So I'll tell you what, anybody wants to give us a call, 131-873. Got any stocks you want us to go through? If you all stop listening,
I've got a heap of them here.
Rightio, we're going to go through those. We're going to take another break here on Money News. And when we come back, we're going to take your calls, 131-873. Let us know what you want us to look at. Otherwise, certainly, we'll take you through a few of the stocks that Roger's got in the portfolio as well.
This is Money News with Ross Greenwood on 2GB 873. Thanks to MotorPass, more than a fuel car.
Yes, welcome back to Money News, 12 minutes to 8 o'clock, of course. Waiting on for the British Prime Minister, David Cameron, to make a statement. But in the studio with me is Roger Montgomery talking the stock market, which, of course, was up today by 40 points. At one stage, down more than 200 points. How did you actually cope today? What were you doing today, Roger? Buying it?
I had a visual in my head that helped me cope, and it was a roller coaster. And I remember the idea, the adage, and it was told to me many, many years ago, that you only get injured on a roller coaster if you jump out while it's running. So I said to the team, I said, look, we'll just stay in the roller coaster, and we're fortunate that we've got a lot of cash to invest. So we were buying in the morning, and unfortunately for many, but unfortunately for us, it rallied very, very hard in the afternoon. And so we didn't get as much as we would have liked.
Let's have a chat to a couple of people. Give us a call, 131-873. Want to have a chat with Roger about your portfolio, about the way it's looking, what you might have to get rid of, what you should be trying to buy. Glenn from Barossa Valley in South Australia. G'day, Glenn. How are you doing?
Yeah, good. Thanks, Charles.
G'day, Glenn.
Thank you.
I've got a couple of questions for Roger. One is on Macquarie Bank, because I bought them just after the financial global crisis, and they've plummeted even before the last few days. So his thoughts on them, and also one that Roger recommended, which was ICOM.
Sure. Well, let's talk about Macquarie Bank first. Macquarie Bank's issue is, it's got some morale issues, obviously. And its old model is no longer available to it. So the old model of packaging up infrastructure assets, selling them into a unit trust and taking out management fees and setup fees and all that sort of thing, that model is not available to it. The prices that it was getting, it just can't get anymore. So there's been a lot of defections. And I know there are a lot of CVs for some very smart people floating around the marketplace at the moment. So they've got some challenges. It is trading at or near its intrinsic value, but it's not a business that I would have in the portfolio. On to the second one, which is Zicom. Now, Zicom's an interesting business. It's trading at a big discount to its intrinsic value now. I have talked about it before. Be careful, though. I don't recommend stocks. I recommend you go and research them, but I'm not suggesting you go out and buy them. Zicom is a business that we have liked and we have owned. We did sell it about maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago, simply because we understood from speaking to a few people that the shipping business in Singapore was slowing down. What's interesting about their results that came out was they said that the oil rig business is ramping up significantly, and that could be a positive for a business like Matrix Composites and Engineering, which is another one that I suggest people go and research and wait for their full year results before doing anything.
It's really interesting with Macquarie as well, if we talk about that, because obviously the share price down at around about $30.87 it was today, I think it was. It's been obviously lower in the last day or so. But it really is one of those things where you've got to look at both the business and make certain you like the business, and then also make certain you like the price. There's two things. There's two ingredients, aren't there?
Yeah. Look, there, with Zycom, and I hear the I hear the comment quite a bit. You've got to continue to look at what's going on. One of the things that we didn't like about the company after we bought it was the constant selling of shares by the founders, and that combined with the fact that business was slowing in Singapore caused us to sell it.
All right, appreciate that very much, Glenn, from the Barossa Valley. Let's go and have a chat to Scott, who's in Tregear. Anybody else? 131-873, give us a call.
G'day, gentlemen.
G'day, Scott.
G'day, Scott.
Ross, yeah, g'day. I'd like to disagree with you on 2 points tonight, Ross, and then ask a question, if I may.
Go for your life. You're most happy to.
Firstly, the last you've said tonight, Ross, the last 3 days of the downturn in the stock exchange has been because of the downgrading of the American credit rating. Well, that's incorrect, because on Friday, the Australian Stock Exchange lost because of the European situation, I believe.
Look, broadly, though, I think you're right. There are different matters that can actually cause it to fall. But it would be fair to say in the last couple of days, the concerns about the US have been very much one of the reasons why this market's fallen. And I don't discount the fact that anything that happens in Asia and or in Europe can also affect us as well.
Interesting, in the last couple of days, I believe that the Australian Stock Exchange has been following the Chinese Stock Exchange. There was 3 stock exchanges in the last 24 hours that had positive growth, which was Australia, China, and the Israeli Stock Exchange. And the Chinese Stock Exchange weathered the American problem yesterday, and then all of a sudden there was a great downturn. Australia was going up, and then all of a sudden the Chinese Stock Exchange went down. So did the Australian Stock Exchange. So I believe that the Australian Stock Exchange at this point is following the lead of the Chinese Stock Exchange and not the American Stock Exchange.
Well, not a bad one. I'll tell you what, Scott, we're going to full board. We're going to keep on going. Thanks for the comment. I'll take your question on notice for another day. Let's go to Martin in Windsor now. G'day, Martin. Martin, I think, has disappeared. Theo in Cranbourne. G'day, Theo. You there, Theo?
G'day, mate. Yes, mate, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Very good. Just asking Range Resources. Do you know anything about that stock?
No, unfortunately, not right now. I could get some information and come back to you on that one. Sorry.
Have you had them long, Theo, or not?
About 3 years.
All right. And have you done okay out of them or not?
No. Initially, they were really low, and then after we sort of they rallied up to about 38 cents, and now they've just plummeted it again.
What you're telling me is you really need to understand why you own it, and you need to understand that business.
Yeah, not the punt, Theo. That's always the way. Thanks for that. Let's go and have a chat to Sam. He's in Western Australia somewhere. Whereabouts in Western Australia, Sam?
Oh, good evening, Ross and Roger. Roger, I've thoroughly enjoyed your book. I was wondering if
thank you
could comment on a couple of stocks for me, MTU and Decmil. I think the code is DCG.
Gee. Yep. What's MTU?
MTU, M2 Telecommunications.
Right.
A reseller of broadband and telecommunication services to small and medium enterprises. Good business.
Yeah.
I can tell you about MTU. We have been buying it over the last couple of days. Our valuation on it is over $4, and it's been trading recently at about $2.50 or $2.55. So we like that one. It's an A1, which is my highest quality rating that I give companies.
Yep.
Decmil was the other one. We also like Decmil as a potential future Monadelphous, actually. I think it's a great business. It's an A2, which is the second highest rating I can give a company. It's traded as low as $1.90, I think, recently, or even today. But I reckon it's worth about between $2.50 and $3. So both very high-quality companies and both trading at a discount to intrinsic value at the moment. But be sure to get some advice before you do anything.
No problem, Sam. Thank you for that one. Appreciate you calling from Western Australia. Take one last one, and that is Barry, who's in Victoria. Barry, this is a bit of a more general one. You've got to be real quick for me there, Barry.
Okay, listen. I've got only about $100,000 in Australian Super.
Mm-hmm.
I've got about 15 or 20 in BT.
Yep.
And some in ING, right?
Yep.
Should I put them all back in Australian Super? Because I lost a lot of money a couple of years ago.
Look, it's a pretty hard one, this one, actually. Barry, I'll jump in here because you can be holding different super funds in different ones for different reasons. In other words, one might give you good insurance, another one. But the truth is, the fewer superannuation funds you have, generally the higher amount of money you have, and as a result, the lower your fees. You've got to work that one out for yourself, Barry, as to where the lower fees will be. And certainly also maybe ring our our superannuation show a little bit later on with Peter Switzer. They'll have some advice for you as well. That's coming up a little later on 2GB. That's the program for tonight. Many thanks for your time, Roger.
It's a pleasure. Nice to be back.
And we shall see everybody right here on Money News, same time tomorrow night.